It's beyond compare. I just don't have the vocabulary to tell you how awesome Jesus is. If I did, I could not tell you the half. That's what this is talking about. So let's look at chapter 10 of 1 Kings, and it says in verse 1, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord." Of course, we know who Solomon was, David's son. He was considered the wisest man on earth at that time, or that had ever lived, one of the richest that ever lived. It says here that she came to prove him with hard questions. So she had heard that Solomon was like the smartest dude ever. And she's like, I'll just have to see it for myself. That's just the way some people are. You know, you tell a man, that restaurant is the best, and fill in the blank. I'll just have to go see for myself. You're not going to convince them. And so maybe this is the way she was. She's like, well, I'll just go prove it. I'll go find out for myself. In verse 2 it says, "And she came to Jerusalem with a great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart." And so, of course, she's a queen as well. So she's pretty advanced as far as the money goes and things like that. And she came with an entourage here and so forth. And I don't know if she was like, well, we'll go see. You know, I'm pretty rich myself. I'll get all my camels together and I'll get some spices. And I don't know if she was going over there to try to one-up Solomon or what. We don't know. But she went over there, in other words, so she's like, I'll go find out. I got some hard questions. If he's so wise, we'll see. And then verse 3, "And Solomon told her all her questions." In other words, so everyone she came with, he's like, boom, gave her the answer. Well, what about this? Boom, gave her the answer. All right, just answer, answer, answer. And she could not stump him. And so he had answered all her questions, and there was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And so there wasn't any more to add to it. He gave the exact answer. He was the smartest person on that subject. So when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built. So in other words, she went over there skeptical, but heard for herself, saw for herself, and now she's like, this guy is smart. And, you know, I thought my palace was all that and a bag of chips. But, whoo, I mean, he's had Wayfair. He had, Chip and Joe come do a remodel. I mean, he's all that. And so she saw it for herself. Verse 5, it says here, "And the meat of his table, I mean, it was lamb chops." Sorry about that, little lamb. It was, top of the line. And it says here, and the setting of his servants, I mean, even the people that served us, I mean, they were dressed to the nines. I don't know what that means. But they were dressed. They were all, had everything. And the attendants of his ministers. In other words, they were like my pleasure. They were like Chick-fil-A employees. They were excited about refilling your cup. They weren't like, oh, I wish I was somewhere else. I could have been fishing today, but here I am serving this queen of Sheba. Who's she? But no, it was my pleasure this and my pleasure that. I mean, they were just attending to her and their apparel and their cupbearers and the ascent by which they went up into the house. There was no more spirit in her. She was just bewildered. He is the smartest person I've ever heard of, seen, and heard now, met. I mean, his palace, even his servants, everything is just, you can't top it. Verse 6, "And she said to the king, it is true. Report that I heard in my own land and the acts of thy wisdom." So what I heard about on Facebook or read about in the newspaper, things like that, I was skeptical. But I'm telling you, thy wisdom, your house. Verse 7, "Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came. And my eyes have seen it. And behold," it says here, "the half was not told unto me." In other words, it was better than I expected. Far beyond my imagination. And so forth. It says here, "And thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I had heard." So in other words, that's what she was saying. I heard about it. I was skeptical. I came and found and saw myself, heard myself. And I mean, it doesn't even do it justice. What I had heard does not do it justice. So her mindset before she met him was, I'll believe it when I see it. I got some hard questions. I know I can stump him because I've been wondering about this myself. There's no way he. And in verse 4 it says here, now I've seen it. I've heard it for myself. Verse 5, there was no more doubt in her mind. She was convinced. Verse 6, it says here she had seen everything and heard everything and it was true. And in verse 7 it says here, and now she was saying, not the half has been told. She had heard that he was wise and he was rich. And she said, those words don't even compare to what I really saw and heard. So, but now she is saying, not the half has been told. Now, I got a couple examples. I've mentioned this, and hopefully everybody's had breakfast and you're okay now. You're not starving. But I had heard, somebody's like, well, where's the best steak? And I heard, well, the best steak's Texas Roadhouse. And the best steak is Longhorn. And the best steak is around here at Cattleman's. Things like that. And it was just the best steak. And then I heard of Capital Grill. I heard of some other places like that. And then I heard somebody say, Ruth Chris, best steak ever. That's what I'd heard. And I was like, now I like Longhorn. I like Texas Roadhouse. And those are pretty good steaks. Flavor good, if you get it cooked right, things like that. And I like it mooing, not leather. Okay? If you like leather, chew all you want. Okay? I get it. But I like it to, kind of jump around on the plate a little bit. But anyway, I'd heard that Ruth Chris had the best steaks ever. I heard of it. And so I might have said, I don't know. I can marinate my own steak and grill it. I'm up there with, Roadhouse at least, things like that. But I went, and let me go ahead and say this, not on my own dime. But I got invited and taken to, and was told, you got to get the cowboy ribeye. That's the one with the bone comes up, like Fred Flintstone. And it was there. I had gotten it cooked medium, and so it was just right. And I took a bite. And let me tell you, I said, just like this lady, not the half has been told. It melted in my mouth. Oh, my soul, it was good. And I'd been to like the Sundial in Atlanta when the night my wife and I got married. It was the Westin Peachtree Plaza. Had the Sundial restaurant on the top of it, and the restaurant did this. And I think I ate a 22-ounce porterhouse that night on my wedding day. Amen? And finished it all. Ugh. All right? But Ruth Chris topped that. It was awesome. And every time I've been back since, it's just as awesome. And so I found out. And here's one. I had heard, this is back in the day, when Deion Sanders, the coach of Colorado Buffaloes, Neon Deion is what they called him back in the day. He played for the Atlanta Braves, which was good. He played for the Atlanta Falcons, which was good. That was my favorite teams. And so I had heard, fastest dude ever to play baseball. I'd heard that. Now I think the Cincinnati Reds have him now. What's that dude's name? There you go, the De La Cruz guy. I heard he set a record the other day from shortstop to first base, 105 miles an hour off his hand. But anyway, but Neon was that kind of guy back then. I'd heard he was fast. I'd heard it. I was like, I'm pretty fast. All right, so I'm not impressed with somebody fast. I'm pretty fast. But he's standing on first base. I believe it was the top of the, I think he let off, walked. He's on first base. Somebody hits the ball. I'm not sure where it went. I think right field corner. And he was from first base to home plate in a blink of an eye. And he didn't even look like he was trying. And so, again, I was like, not the half has been told. That guy is fast. He was just like at home in a blink of an eye. Unbelievable. And a couple other ones I'll give you here this morning. Not the half has been told. I had heard that going on a cruise was relaxing and enjoyable. And so for our 25th anniversary of being married and of working at our previous church, they sent us on a cruise. And again, I don't know a lot about cruises, but we went on Holland America. I heard that's the old people cruise. All right? Okay, because there wasn't a lot of kids, and it was. It was, my cell phone didn't work. How awesome was that? Some of you would be like, I'd be getting the heebie-jeebies if my phone wouldn't work. But it wouldn't even work. I think you could have made it work, but you had to pay extra. And so forth, or it could have caused the ship to sink. So I was like, I'll turn it off. But it was relaxing. And any time I had a hankering for some fruit, there was a fruit bar. Anytime I had a hankering for some pizza, there was a pizza bar. Anytime I had a hankering for some ice cream, there was, I mean, 24/7. You didn't have to wait until it opened or closes. I mean, if you wanted it. And then I found out this little option, pick up the phone, and they would bring it to you. I mean, how relaxing is that? So going on a cruise, not the half has been told. If you like to relax, you have to. There's nothing else to do. All right. So, and here's one, my last one. I have heard, I like to hunt whitetail. I have heard that Kentucky has some monster bucks up here. And I can't wait. All those other things, I've already seen it. I've already participated. I agree. But I can't wait one day. Not a half has been told about the whitetail in Kentucky. All right, I can't wait. So anyway, if I ever do that, y'all's phones will be blowing up. Got him. Not the half has been told. But anyway, the Queen of Sheba, she had heard Solomon was smart. She had heard he had it all that in a bag of chips and, you know, a case of chips. But anyway, so she said, I don't believe it. She went and saw it and said, doesn't give it justice. Does it bring it? He is the smartest person. Now, I have a couple of things about Solomon thinking like, okay, I have a different version. Okay, the Bible says he had 300 wives. All right, he had to be rich to cover all those purses and all those shoes, all right, and all that makeup. My goodness. But that wasn't enough for him. He had 700 girlfriends. Concubines, the Bible says. But I was like, you know, he couldn't be very smart. And she's sitting in here, so I'm going to be in trouble. He had 300 mother-in-laws. Who would want to do that to themselves? I mean, three, and I got a great mother-in-law, amen. But anyway, so that's just my opinion. Now let's go to Matthew 12. So we talked about Solomon. Queen of Sheba says, not the half has been told. This guy is smart. I mean, I don't, who's the little fuzzy-haired dude? Einstein? Blows him away. Not the half has been told. All the other people that you could compare him to. She said, not the half has been told. Not only was he smart, he was rich. I mean, he had everything that you could think of. But Matthew 12, look at verse 42. Matthew 12, verse 42. So, because some of you, and I tried to give the Reds, the De La Cruz, kudos, things like that. Some of you are going to come up to me after service and say, dude, Ruth, Chris, there's this place. Blows them away. I know, it's going to happen, okay? And, whitetail in Kentucky, you ought to go to Kansas. I mean, I get it. I mean, everybody's always going to try. So same thing here. Look at verse 42 of chapter 12. And the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So this is talking about the story that we just read. She had to go hear it for herself. But it says here, and behold, a greater then Solomon is here. So not the half has been told about Solomon, but when Jesus showed up, they were like, dude, Solomon's not even in his league. Hey, cannot hold a candle. I don't know what that means. All right, but does not measure up. So according to Matthew, I've heard how wise Solomon was. Jesus is smarter. I've heard how rich Solomon was. Jesus is richer. There's a greater one here. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning, is a couple of things about Jesus. And again, I feel so inadequate to try to even do this. But you get the point. I think I laid it out here. All right? Not the half has been told. So if I can even get close to describing how awesome Jesus is in these areas, I'm not even getting halfway. That's what he's saying. Not the half has been told. Anyway, let's look at the first one I'm going to talk about. Not the half has been told. About number one, about the love of God. About the love of God. Obviously, it's been told. It's been sung about. It's been written and preserved about. And we're just scratching the surface. If you've experienced God's love and you've accepted Him as your personal Savior, you're like, I mean, it's way better than they were telling me. It's more awesome than I thought. But again, but there's more. Not the half has been told. So let's look at a couple of verses. You don't have to turn here. I'll read them to you. And you probably can quote this one. John 3:16. For God, and here it is, so loved the world. And again, it's been told. It's probably the best story that's ever been told. And probably been one of the stories that's been told the most. But not the half has been told. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, or shall not perish, or should not perish, but have everlasting life. So again, I heard about that verse as a little kid. And I thought, yeah, okay. I get it. I believe it. But it was not the half had been told till I experienced it. So when the queen heard He was smart and rich, got there beyond all measure. So when people told me, hey, God loves you, because the Bible says God so loved the world. But then when I accepted Him and I realized that God loved me, not just the whole world collectively, but He loved me, obviously that experience got there not to half has been told. A couple other verses about God's love. 1 John 4:8 says this, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I mean, He is. He's the epitome of love. Some of you are pretty good at your note writing and your surprises that you bust on your girlfriend or boyfriend or wife or husband. And you know that shows love. And again, my wife knows if I took her out to eat on opening day instead of going hunting, that's love. All right, that's what I'm saying. So we say here, we can't even wrap our head around it, our brain around it, because God is love. So not only did I experience that when He saved my soul, He loved me, not just the world. It was incredible. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And so again, we see that God's love, and it's the epitome of love. And not only does it blow my mind when it realizes what she was saying, I don't deserve Him to love me. I don't deserve Him to have saved me. But He does, and He has. And now we see here that He will also give us the assurance of that. So sometimes when somebody gives you something, you know, I've seen, I had a student in high school. He was one of 12, I think. And when we would go to lunch, He would eat like this. He would put his arm around his plate, and he would eat like this. And I'm like, Sam, what are you doing? He's like, well, at home, I'm one of the youngest. And so I'm like, fork. His brothers and sisters would take his food. So he was like guarding it. All right. So he was like, want it. And so, but anyway, when you have the assurance, hey, nobody's going to take it. I mean, I get told that all the time because I eat fast. And then, not that. I know. But you watch me eat, you'd be like, dude, not the half. It's like pushing it in, chewing like a gerbil. But you just eat fast. And so my mom would tell me, hey, I'm not going to take it back. Relax. Enjoy it. You're swallowing it whole. You chew twice. All right? Just chill. So same thing here. I realize God loves the world, but then all of a sudden I realize He loved me. And then He assures me of that fact. And the last thing, not only does He love me and assures me that He saved me, then it talks about that relationship in the Bible. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love of God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And so, again, it's kind of hard for a person to tell somebody else about salvation, and we should, but not the half has been told. And then when we get that assurance and we know if we died right now, we'd go to heaven, we try to tell people, you can know, you can have that assurance. And they're like, eh, but we're trying to tell you, but once you ever figure it out, not the half has been told. And then you say, look, if you'll read your Bible, and you'll pray to God every day, and you'll try to do what the Bible says and what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, and you develop that relationship with Him, it is awesome! Better than a Ruth Chris steak. Okay, better! I would take my relationship with God over any steak. Okay? Okay. I'll believe it when I see it. Well, get there. I promise you. If you ever get there, you'll be like, He wasn't even scratching the surface. He told me I needed to have a relationship with God, but this is way better than I thought. Not the half has been told about God's love. Secondly, not the half has been told about the joy of God. The joy of God. There are some things that bring you joy. My youngest son and his wife and their four kids, all, I think the oldest one's over than four now. So, boop, 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 boop. All right, just lots of it. Wow. All right, it is crazy. It's wide open. They came and surprised my wife Wednesday. And she, when she got home, they were hiding in the living room. She opened that door. Boom. I mean, immediately she starts this. I'm like, you're supposed to be happy. They surprised. She was overtaken with joy. All right? And I knew they were coming. But when those van doors opened and those little ones started popping out, I mean, I was experiencing joy. And those of you that have little ones, number one back there, all right, you get it. You're like, that's not even coming close to how joy those little ones bring. All right? And that's what God's saying is, if you will get my joy, all right, the joy of the Lord is my strength. We're going to see that in just a second. If you'll experience that, you'll be like, that preacher wasn't even coming close to the joy that God brings me. Here it is. A, it says, God, He will fill you with joy. Romans 15:13. It says this, and now God of hope, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and the peace in believing, that you should abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So if you ever experience the real joy of God, you'll realize I'm not telling the half of it. The joy of the Lord is awesome. And you've heard the little acronym, Jesus, others, and you. And that is how to experience God's joy. If you put Him first, you'll experience His joy. If you'll put others, the Bible says, in honor, preferring one another. If you'll put other people. But you are on the list. All right? Some people are like, well, I got to put Jesus first, so I got to be miserable. I got to let my brother and sister go first, so I got to be miserable. No. You're on the list of the acronym here. Jesus, that's the best joy. Others, but I'm on the list. God wants me to be happy. Nehemiah 8:10 says this, and He said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet. So sweet tea's in the Bible right there. All right, eat the fat, drink the sweet. And it says here, and sends portions unto them whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry. And here it is, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. I can be wore slapped out physically, but there's still a smile on my face. There's still a spring in my step. Why? The joy of the Lord. I'm doing this for the Lord. Yesterday we kept the chairs inside till right before we ate. Why? Because it might have rained. All right, but we carried them out and we carried them back in. We cleaned up last night. Thank you for those of you that helped. That was a blessing. All right, and when I got home, I was like, boom. But I was happy. I think I pleased God with what I did yesterday. I think I helped some people have a good time with what we did yesterday. There's joy in that. And if you ever experience that, you'll say, not the half has been told. The joy of the Lord is my strength. See, 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, ye have loved. It's talking about God. We've never seen Him. All right, but we love Him. In whom, though now you have seen Him not, yet believing, here it is, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. And full of glory. That's what this verse is saying. Not the half has been told about the joy that the Lord can give you. Third, the wisdom of God. Not the half has been told about the wisdom of God. She heard that Solomon was wise. I got some questions. I'll stump him. She wasn't able to. Mouth drop. God is that way. The Bible says in James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give it to all men liberally. And it says here, and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So in other words, God has all the wisdom in the world. And He says, if you'll ask me for it, I'll give it to you. So if you'll have that thing that's got you just mind-boggled, I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to get through this. I don't know how to answer this. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And He will give it to you liberally. Here's how to do it. And you'll be like, Never thought of that. I've had those prayers. I'll be praying and say, God, I don't understand. All of a sudden, I'll read a scripture. There it is. Or all of a sudden, I'll be listening to somebody else preach, because preachers need preaching. All right? So I'll be listening to somebody else preach. Boom. There it is. And so we see here the wisdom of God. If we ask Him, He'll give it to you. And He was like, not the half has been told. And He works out that situation. And maybe you pray for years, and all of a sudden you see it. And you're like, I understand why God waited so long. Not the half has been told. Second thing about His wisdom. He had it before the foundations of the world. Okay? Because you have to have wisdom to create a world and a universe and all the things that are out there and all the things that are in here. He had that before the foundation of the world. And Him and God and the Holy Spirit said, hey, let us make man in our own image. And doctors have been studying this forever. Not the half has been told. Okay? Praise the Lord for advancement. Back in some of your days, it was here, bite this stick while I sew you up. Novocaine, pain medicine. Woo-hoo! All right, yeah, give it here. I like it, little things floating around. Go ahead, sew me up, I'm good. All right, so praise the Lord for that. And then operations that used to take, you know, like a month and then a year to heal up, they're doing it with a robot. Stick it inside of your ear hole and pull that out. Okay, you're done, go home. Half day, what? All right. Praise the Lord for advancement, but not the half has been told. He created it all. Deuteronomy 29:29 says this, the secret things belong to the Lord. So there are some things that even doctors and scientists and even smart people will never figure out. Why? Because not the half has been told. It says the secret things belong to the Lord. All that. Isaiah 55:9 says this, for as heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God's letting us know here, I'm smart, I have wisdom, but not the half has been told. Heaven's higher than the earth. My mind and my thoughts and my ways are way higher than yours. So we see here, the Bible talks about, we did this on Wednesday night about word study, and we grabbed one word, I think we used access, and we used boldness. Here's one for you. Astonished. That word in the Bible says astonished. In other words, not the half has been told. Mouth drop. Bum puzzled. I don't know if that's a word. All right. Like blown mind. You had the little emoji. All right. I've never used an emoji. How do you do that? You just click on it. All right. I lied. I have used emoji one time. It was, some people call it the ice cream emoji. I call it the poop emoji. I used that one time. Anyway, we see here that, you know, mind blown. Boom. They were astonished. And I just listed, I looked up, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times the word astonished was used about Jesus. Not the half has been told. It says here that they were astonished. I mean, he was a teenager. All right? We're astonished by teenagers about how long they can sleep, how much they can eat, how long they can play video games. All right? We're astonished by them. But he, being a teenager, it says here, they were astonished at his teachings. So in other words, he was in the temple teaching these old dudes, according to the Bible. And they were all like, I heard he was pretty smart, but his teaching. It says here, they were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished. These are all verses in the Bible. They were astonished at his wisdom. They were astonished at his mighty works. I mean, who could not be astonished at his healings? I've known that kid since he was born, and he's had that disease. And now he don't. They were astonished at his healings. Then he went past that. Man, I thought I'd heard of everything. Him healing deaf people and healing people that couldn't walk. Here's one. He raised the dead. I mean, they'd been out dead for 4 days. Lazarus. Hey, Lazarus, come here. They were astonished. Not the half has been told. Then his knowledge. You know, again, Solomon was pretty smart. Y'all know the story? The ladies had babies, both of them. They went to sleep. One of them suffocated hers. So while the other one was still sleeping, she swapped them. And then they got to look at him. I don't know about this one. And things like that. So they went to Solomon. He said, here, give me the live one. I'm going to cut him in half, and I'll give y'all both half. And one was, whoa, nope, she can have it. He goes, that's the mom. I mean, he's pretty smart. Okay, but she said not to have been told. And then the Bible says there's one here greater than Solomon. Astonished. So we saw the love of God, not to have been told. He's so loved. We saw the joy of God. The Bible says it was unspeakable. And then we see the wisdom of God. It can't compare. Here's the last one, or second to the last one. The power of God. I mean, the power of God. Obviously, it was in His Word. It was in His mind. It was His power was everywhere. So, first of all, we're going to see that we were saved by the power of God. So, we saw in Sunday school this morning that great faith chapter that Noah, obviously in the ark. You know who Noah gave all the credit to? God. I just did what God told me to do. He's the one shut the door. He's the one that kept us afloat. He's the one that helped us get on the other side and replenish the earth. God. He gave it to him. All right, the power of God. So God is the one that saves us. We can't work our way to heaven. We can't turn over enough new leaves to get us to heaven. We have to accept it by faith, and the power of God saves us. John 1:12 says this, "But as many as received Him." So anybody sitting in this room, you said, "I receive You as my personal Savior." It says, "To them gave He the power to become the sons of God." So before salvation, on your way to hell, receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. God gave you the power to become the son or daughter of God. He's the one that keeps you saved. The power of God. Beyond imagination. Not to have has been told about the power of God. Here's another one. Not only did He save us by His power, but the Bible says we are kept by His power. Some of us, we get saved and we're like, okay, now I'm a Christian. I got to keep it up. I got to keep reading to stay saved. I got to keep going to church to stay saved. I got to keep not cussing to stay saved. I got to keep being nice to my sister. Oh, that's hard. To stay saved. No. The same power that saved you is the same power that keeps you saved. Now, you should do all those things. All right? Because the Bible says, be nice and things like that. But it's the power of God that keeps you. 1 Peter 1:5 says this, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day." So I'm going to heaven not by my own power and not because I've earned it or kept it. God saved me by His power. He keeps me by His power. See, it says here we can stand by His power. Stand by His power. There's some people that are, you know, they're just like weary, but the cheering goes, "You push on, go on, you can do it. Come on, push it a little bit," and you're just trying because of your encouragement. That's what the Bible says God will do for us. 1 Corinthians 2:5, "That your faith should not stand in wisdom of men, but the power of God." And there's several verses in the Bible that says, stand fast, having done all to stand. This is what we should do. But God says, hey, you can do that in my power. If you've ever experienced, you know not the half has been told. Here's another one. We're not only can stand by His power, but we're changed by His power. I was this way. I had a past. And I went to some of my friends after I got saved, and they would ask me, "What happened to you?" Why? Because I looked different. Why? Because I sounded different. Why? Because I went to different places. And they said, "What happened to you?" Again, it wasn't me. I didn't do any of those changes. I was changed by the power of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18. "Changed unto the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord." Okay? Again, all that stuff that changed about me, what I would do, what I would say, where I would go, it wasn't me turning over new leaves. It was the power of God. And I'm telling you, not the half has been told. You've seen people or heard about people that the meanest man in town got saved, power of God changed him. The most wicked person that you've ever met got saved, God changed him. By the power of God, you can be changed. And you can be, one day you'll be raised. You'll either be raised from the dead or raised from this ground at the rapture. Okay, why? By the power of God. Not the half has been told. So we see here, not the half has been told about the love of God and about the joy of God and about the wisdom of God and about the power of God. And here's the last one. And I'll just say it. Not the half has been told about the house or home of God. And we know where that is. Heaven. Listen to this verse. 1 Corinthians 2:9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that are in Him." So we've heard about streets of gold. We've heard about gates of pearl. We've heard about the river of life. We've heard about, you know, mansions, things like that. But I'm telling you, to the best of my ability and from the bottom of my heart, not the half has been told. It talks about people that were crippled, but in heaven they're doing heel clicks and they're running. Not the half has been told. There's people that are blind and can't hear. In heaven they can see everything and hear everything. Not the half has been told, right, Miss Amy? I can't wait. I know she can't wait. Maybe the first thing that she'll see is Jesus. Wow. Not the half has been told. Not the half. About the love of God. We can't scratch the surface. The joy that God will give you. We cannot scratch the surface. The wisdom and the power that He has. Can't touch it. But man, when we get to heaven, the Bible says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor has even entered into our heart what heaven might be like. Not the half has been told. What a life that we have in the Christian life. But not the half has been told. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. Lord, thank You for the truths in the Bible. Lord, thank You for allowing us to be able to wrap our brain around at least half of it. But God, help us realize, Lord, there's just so much more that we don't know. There's just so much more that we're going to experience. And Lord, help us to live like we're supposed to until that happens. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Those that's getting baptized, you can slip out and go get ready. And looking forward to that. If you need to come pray and just thank God about not the half has been told. Altar's open. If you need to be saved, come. We'll show you from the Bible how you can be saved.